going to do.
Hallelujah.
Yes.
I know that many times you look at yourself and you look at your number and you think that you're not making any impact. You think you're not making any impact. But I come to bring a word to you tonight that will strengthen you, that will, the Lord will release some fire into your life.
Amen.
So that next Friday when you come, you're going to pray like you never prayed before.
Yes, Lord.
Hallelujah. Amen. Because when you get to the point of doing that, you're close to a breakthrough. Hallelujah. You're close to a breakthrough. So, I want to thank God for my wife. I was praying last night as I was getting ready, and the Lord just reminded me something. Last time I spoke here, my wife was pregnant with Abigail, our daughter. It was just about due to be delivered, right?
A couple months.
And we don't coordinate this. And then when he asked us to come again, now we have a new baby. So you see that.
You want to come back?
There seems to be a correlation between whenever we come here and a new addition in the house. And the Lord has been good to us. You know, I want to share something. My wife has a school called the Daniel Christian Academy. It's in the southeast of Rochester. And this school is, when I was about to propose to my wife, the Lord gave me a word about her. And I didn't know what to make about the word, but that's what I used for proposal. Because the Lord talked about a time and a season when what she is doing will be needed. That a time is coming when the enemy's agenda will be to destroy the lives of children, young people. And the Lord was raising someone, her, with an assignment for the youth. At that point, she was leading the youth at the church. So I just assumed that it was about youth ministry. I didn't know that it was something to do with school. Lo and behold, the Lord told her to quit her job at Mayo. And now she has a school, Daniel Christian Academy. And last week or 2 weeks ago, the lady called and the lady said, my little daughter has an assignment and I'm fed up, because the assignment they gave her was to bring the name or picture. Names and picture of a dead loved one and bring it to school. They're going to try to communicate with the dead. This is a public school. And so just like, I'm fed up, I'm coming to Daniel Christian Academy.
Okay.
The enemy is trying to destroy our children as young as all the way in elementary school.
Sure.
Get them into witchcraft, demonized, and destroy their destiny so they don't come into God's purposes for their life. And God is very intentional for young people. And so the school is, when I just need to realize that the school is beginning at a time that God said there is a need to save young people. Hallelujah. And so that's what my wife is doing. If I give a plug, if I have anyone that lives around Rochester is looking for a Christian school, they teach the Bible, they have devotion, they have chapel, and they do school.
Amen.
And the goal is to raise young people like Daniel.
Amen.
Who grew up in a very wicked environment, but they grew up for Jesus. Hallelujah.
World changers. Yes.
World changers for Jesus.
Amen. Amen.
So I thank God for my wife and our children. Everybody's in ministry because we all do together.
Yes.
So, well, for tonight, I want to talk about faith for the last days. Lord, I want to talk from Luke chapter 18. It's a passage that we all know very well. But I'm going to come about faith in a way that you have not probably heard about faith. Because our faith in these last days has got to become more precious to you than anything else. See, I'm from Nigeria. And right now in Nigeria, Christians are being massacred. Here you are at church, right? But in some parts of Nigeria, you can go to church, you're not guaranteed that you will be in church alive.
Wow.
And what's happening in Nigeria is that Nigeria is divided into different ethnicity. There's over 250 different ethnic groups in Nigeria.
Whoa.
There is nothing in common except that they put in one country and they call Nigeria. See, the blessing of America is you have 50 or 51 states, you all speak English, you all have essentially the same culture. You have immigrants that come, but essentially everybody have, you understand each other. Imagine if every state speaks a different language, has a different culture. There is nothing in common except that you are in one country called United States of America.
Wow.
And so, when it's election time, you root for whoever is from your area. It doesn't matter if they're... And so that means that if you're one of the smaller tribes, you have no chance of ever becoming taken to government because you don't have enough people in order to win, because it's democracy. And so the notice now is a Muslim. I know why I'm saying this. And in the constitution of Nigeria, because of the religious and different diversities, you're not supposed to have two people from the same area, the same religion, as president and vice president. But for the first time, we have a Muslim president and a Muslim vice president. And the Muslim vice president is the guy that sponsored Boko Haram when they kidnapped those girls with President Obama, which President Obama had in hand. And the agenda is to Islam, turn Nigeria into an East Muslim country. So the government controls everything. And they're sending these people to go and massacre Christians. And the government turned a blind eye. So, Christians are being killed at a rate never before. And so we're trying to reach out to the global community, to the president, to pressure the government to do something. So, in most parts of the world, it's coming to America. The Lord told me that America, in most of your cities, you've never known persecution. American church is the only church that has never faced persecution. The biggest persecution you face is that they call you names. But in most parts of the world, to become a Christian is to put your life at risk.
Mm-hmm.
It's a death sentence. And so what kind of faith do you need in that kind of season? And so I've seen what's happening in Nigeria, and I've seen what's happening in America, and I'm asking myself, why are Americans allowing certain people into their country with intention to destroy them? And they're growing like wildfire. And the same people that are destroying Christians all over the world, Islamic fundamentalists, but they're using your laws. They're taking advantage of your laws. Unfortunately, they've taken a partner with one of your political party, and they're among you, and they're telling you what they're going to do. They want to turn you into a Muslim country, and they want to start Sharia law. But everybody is okay with it. Notice that we're in the last days. In the last days, there is only one enemy in the last days. That's the Church of Jesus Christ. Because everything is controlled by the devil. But the church is supposed to thrive.
Yes.
Now, I want to tell you one of the mysteries of God. Because that's what's coming to happen. Is that the devil wants to wipe out the church. But when he thinks he's wiping out the church, when the church is most persecuted, that's when the church grows the most.
Yes.
It's a mystery that the devil hasn't figured out. If you think when the church is the most persecuted, that's when the church is growing the fastest. The fastest growing church in the world is Iran.
Yes.
It used to be China. Now it's Iran. Because the more they persecute the church, the more the church grows.
Yes.
And God says that that's coming to America. It means it's coming and it's coinciding with revival.
Amen.
Yes.
Come on.
It's coinciding with revival. And that means that you are the one that the Lord is going to use.
Yes.
So in this area, this church is not going to be able to contain the people that are going to come in this place.
Come on. Yes.
You're small, you think you're small. But in the spirit, you will carry the authority in this place.
Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus.
Because mega church in the kingdom is not about numbers. It's about authority. And authority is what you gain if you're able to do what you guys are doing.
Yes.
If you begin to pray at night, you begin to grow in authority.
Mm-hmm.
That's what we're going to talk about today. We're going to talk about faith, but it's a faith that is lived out and sponsored by prayer.
Yes.
Not the faith that we talk about. It's a faith that is built in the place of prayer. When the church is persecuted the most, that's when you learn that you cannot go out and come without prayer.
There you go.
Because prayer becomes the power that sponsors your faith.
That's right.
Mm-hmm.
So that faith is not what you say, I have this faith, I'm a Christian. No. Faith becomes what you live by, it becomes your life. Mm-hmm. It becomes your daily life. So let's go to Luke 18. How much time do I have, Pastor?
When you get done?
Okay. It's always scary. Amen. So in Luke 18, he says this, and he, Jesus, spake a parable unto them to this end, that men ought always to pray and not to faint. He spoke a parable. And the parable was trying to explain the point that men ought always to do what?
Pray.
And not to do what? Faint. So it means in these last days, if you're not praying, you are fainting.
Mm.
I'll tell you the difference in a little bit. Because Jesus says in the last days that the last days is going to be Perilous time, that's what Paul said. Perilous time. It's a time that has never been before. Now, the word perilous, my mentor said to us that that word perilous, last time when I came here, I talked about the demoniac. Remember the demoniac?
Mm-hmm.
The demoniac was this guy that was living in the graveyard. He was so demonized that people didn't go there because he was very fierce and scared. It's the same word that was used to describe the last days.
Mm.
The last days is going to be such a time that people are going to be paralyzed by fear.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
So for you not to be paralyzed by fear, you need to be operating in a different economy.
That's right.
Where fear does not exist. And no man could go through where that demoniac was until Jesus came.
There you go. That's good.
Because Jesus was operating from a different realm.
Yes.
See, faith is a realm in God that when you glue into, it doesn't matter what's going on, you're not affected. Faith is a realm that you enter into and everything becomes afraid of you.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
Come on. That's good.
Because in faith, there is no fear.
Mm-hmm.
Faith is the nature of God. The only thing I could use to explain it to you is one day I had a dream. And in the dream, the Lord was releasing new angels. He called them the angel of his presence. Special angels prepared for the last days. And when those angels come, they carry the atmosphere of God. And when you come around that atmosphere, you feel like God. Absolutely no fear.
Amen.
You feel like you can do anything. There is nothing that will be afraid of, that you'll be afraid of. And Jesus was saying that men ought always to pray. You see, prayer is not just about talking to God. Prayer is a medium that brings transformation.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
So, yes. When you pray the way God wants you to pray, at the end of your prayer, you should be at a different place than when you began the prayer.
That's good.
You would have transitioned. Maybe you started praying and you were fearful. By the time you're done praying, something would have happened in you.
Yes.
Hebrew 1 says that faith is a substance.
Yes. Mm.
Thank you, Jesus. Okay, so I want to explain that because Hebrew 1 says that now faith. 11, Hebrew 11, verse 1. Faith is the substance of things hoped for.
Yes.
The evidence of things not seen. Now, they've told you that faith is, you claim it, you see whatever you want and you say it. If you say it long enough, it becomes true. Has that happened to you? Have you said something long enough and it became true? He says that faith is a substance. That means that, hallelujah, you know the point that you begin to operate in faith.
Yes.
Because there is a substance of heaven that enters you.
Yes.
That means that, I remember when I was during COVID, at night I would get this COVID-like symptom. And I will bear up. COVID was a demon of death.
Mm-hmm.
Because the amount of fear that came with COVID. So at night, when I had it, I was so much fear The only thing I could do is pray in the morning. Because even praying in my own understanding is fruitless. You're paralyzed by fear. So I pray in the Holy Ghost. I pray in the Holy Ghost. And then after a point, something comes into my heart. My heart becomes quickened. Mm. When you become quickened, it means that there is a substance that enters your spirit. It enters your heart. And when it happens, you have no fear at all. That's when you pray. That's when you speak. Yes. That's when you address situation. So at the beginning, you started praying and you were fearful. But as you prayed in the Holy Ghost, it came to a point that you felt a virtue of God enter your heart.
Mm-hmm.
You can call it as peace. You know when that peace comes.
Yes.
You can call it as joy. You know when that joy comes. But when it comes, you know. At that point, everything you say is answered 100%.
Mm-hmm.
That's when you address situations. Yes. You don't address situations when there is fear in your heart.
Mm. That's good.
So that is what I mean, that prayer is a conduit that brings transformation in your life. Mm-hmm. And when that transformation happens, you know. Because the Bible says that faith is a substance. And when that substance comes into your heart, you act different.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
You act not according to your circumstances. You act according to that thing that has entered you.
Yes, that's good.
And when that thing has entered you, whatever you say, there is no fear.
That's right.
You have it.
Mm-hmm.
That's what Jesus said in Mark 11. We quote that passage, have the faith of God. Whatever you desire, if you do not doubt, you have it.
Yes.
When faith enters you, and you speak, everything you say, you have.
There you go.
But what powers that faith is prayer.
Yeah.
Mm.
So Jesus is saying here in Luke 18. Let's read the parable. Verse 2. There was in a city a judge which feared not God, neither regarded man. And there was a widow in that city. And he came unto him, saying, avenge me of my adversary. And he would not for a while, but afterward he said within himself, though I fear not God, nor regard man, yet because this widow troubles me, I will avenge her, lest by her coming, continual coming, she weary me. And the Lord said, hear what the unjust judge said. And shall not God avenge his own elect, which cry day and night unto him, though he bear long with them? I tell you that he will avenge them speedily. Nevertheless, when the Son of Man cometh, shall he find faith on the earth?
Yes.
So he told a parable that men ought always to pray. But at the end of the parable, he said, when he comes, will he find faith? So the whole point is that the faith for the last days is the faith that operates in constant prayer.
Hmm.
That is why in these last days, whenever Jesus talked about last days, he said, pray, watch and pray, watch and pray. If you are not watching, you're praying. The reason why you're praying is because you're watching.
Yes.
You're seeing certain things begin to happen. I read about Enoch. We all read in Genesis. The Bible says that Enoch was 300 years. And then he walked with God for, he lived. And then after he had a son, he walked with God for 300 years.
Yes.
That means that there's something that happened in Enoch's generation time that caused him to begin to walk with God.
Yes.
He saw something, and that thing he saw caused him to run after God.
so as you're seeing things that are happening around you, it should cause you to run after God.
Yes.
There came a point in my life where I was no longer comfortable with normal Christianity. What do I mean by normal Christianity? You go to church, you do all the church things, but you have no relationship with God.
Mm-hmm.
You don't know when He talks to you. You say He's your father. Now, think about it. If you are a natural father, how would you feel if you never, if your son doesn't know when you talk to him or her, or mm-hmm. him, not her? If you are a son, how would you feel if you never know the voice of your father? Many of us says we are children of God, but we don't know when He speaks to us, and we're comfortable with that. You know, in the natural realm, a parent will be taking their child to a medical facility to find out what's wrong. This child cannot communicate. After a certain age, you expect that my daughter should be able to hear me and respond. Why is it in the spiritual realm, many Christians are comfortable not hearing their father's voice every Sunday, and they're comfortable with that? And the Bible says, with God all things are possible.
Yes.
That God can do anything, but I'm comfortable not hearing His voice. Yes, there's nothing in my life that, no action in my life I have taken that I will say that is directly proportional to an instruction from God.
Mm-hmm.
If that's you, I want you to cry out tonight that you want the kind of Christianity the Bible talks about.
Come on.
The kind of Christianity where Jesus said, I only do what I see my Father doing. See, that fascinates me a lot. Everything Jesus did was because there was a direct instruction from the Father.
Yes.
The church will change when we begin to operate like that. And tonight I will show you, it's not just for the ministers. It's for everybody in the church.
Yes.
That you operate. Now, I'll skip ahead a little bit. When Saul was converted, none of the apostles wanted to go to Saul. All of them were afraid of him.
Mm-hmm.
Now, so God had a problem. Imagine if church, if the apostles were operating like right now, where we renegade hearing from God to the fivefold. Now the fivefold is afraid of Saul. So God needs to go and find someone in the pew. His name was Ananias.
Yes.
It's Ananias that went and prayed to Paul. So that means that everybody in the church, in the book of Acts, could hear God. They were all ministers.
Yes.
Now, the biggest lie will be sold is that there's a separation of church and state.
Yeah.
A little bit I know about the constitution, I don't think that it exists, but nevertheless, we bought into it. Now we can't take it back. You know that your enemy doesn't believe in that.
That's right.
There is no religion that believes in separation of church and state except the church. I'll say the church, because not me in America, all over the world, we do that. Let me give you an example. If you go to a Chinese buffet, whenever you walk in the restaurant, what would you see?
Chinese people?
You see Chinese people, but you will see something about their God.
Buddha.
You see Buddha, that's for Hindus. You see Buddha, a giant statue of Buddha in the restaurant.
Mm-hmm.
And you'll be like, what is this thing doing here? They're telling you that their God is Buddha.
Mm-hmm.
And the business they do, Buddha is the center of it. If you go to Muslim, they do the same.
Yes.
But if you go to a Christian business, you see nothing that has to tell you that he's a Christian.
Come on.
He has managed to remove his faith from his business.
Come on.
But the Muslims come, they come with their religion. The Hindus come, they come with their religion.
Yes.
I read when it was under Bill Clinton that they invited all the Asian something he did. They all came with their God. They started building their temple. Right? But the Christians go and they manage to separate their God from their professional life, from their business. It's like you have a dichotomy of you're a Christian on Sunday, you come to church on Monday, but Monday to Friday, you put God aside. But the Church of Jesus Christ is a church that Sunday to Sunday, there is no division of your Christian life versus your private life.
There you go.
They are the same.
Yes.
You go to work. Imagine if Daniel practiced like he practiced. When he goes to the government to work, he will eat everything there. He wouldn't differentiate because he's at work. And then when he comes to his house, he will pray. Huh? That's what we do. Because the Lord told me, from now on, when you go to work, don't eat anything from work. And guess what? They always have free food. Employee appreciation, yes. And one of those food, I was going to eat it when the Lord said to me, I looked at some, this meat is contaminated.
Mm.
And then a little later, my friend sent me a message. He said, I went to get the food. The food has been contaminated. He saw a little the floor with witchcraft.
Mm.
But people are eating it. Christians are eating it. Have you ever wondered who makes the food you eat?
Mm.
You see, Satan's strategy is to kill you with what you eat. That's what he did in the beginning. It's the food they ate. So you're on fire today. You go somewhere, unaware, eat something, and that thing you ate kills the fire in you.
Mm. Give us life.
But that's because you put the Holy Ghost aside while you're doing your regular life. And you don't know that the Holy Ghost is there to lead you and tell you, this you eat, this you don't eat.
Mm.
This person you associate with, this person you don't associate with.
There you go.
There is no division between your spiritual life and your professional, social life.
Yes.
We read it in Daniel. You know, Daniel lived in Babylon, right?
Mm-hmm.
And in Babylon, he was told, do not eat the king's food. Because it's contaminated, it's sacrificed to idol.
Yes.
Right?
Yep.
Yeah.
Now, in the last days, we're living in this place spiritually called Mystery Babylon. So everything that Daniel went through, you and I are going through.
Mm-hmm.
You know where abortion is from? Because in the Old Testament, they used to sacrifice their children to a deity.
Yes.
And spirits don't die. But Satan is smart. In every generation, he changes the terminology.
Yes.
So that it becomes less offensive.
Mm.
And more palatable. But it's the same sin. We call it women health. We call it whatever we call it. But it's child sacrifice to
Jesus.
The same thing that was going on in the Old Testament. Mm-hmm. So what am I saying? Mm-hmm. I'm saying that in these last days, the faith that Jesus wants you to operate now is 24/7.
Yes. Yes,
and that faith comes from constant prayer.
Yes.
Constant fellowship. That is the only way you will survive in this life. Jesus said, man ought always to pray. Now, I want us to look at the prayer life of Jesus. And then I want us to look at the prayer life of the apostles. When we do that, we'll see why we are different than them. Or why we have different results than they do. Because they were doing something that we are not doing.
Come on.
Every religion prays, except the Christians. Christians, we have decided to turn our advantage into a disadvantage. You know, it's not easy to serve Satan. Because Satan and God wants to kill you. Do you know that?
Mm-hmm.
Satan wants to kill you, and Jesus wants to kill you. They both want to kill you. So you choose who you want to kill you, because one way or the other, you're going to be killed. You're going to die.
Mm-hmm.
It's either Satan kills you or God kills you. You choose. Or if you don't choose, then you choose Satan. So let's look at the prayer life of Jesus. In Mark chapter 1, verse 35. Because if we're to walk like Jesus, then we're to do the same thing Jesus did. If we're to do the things the apostles did, then we're to live the way they lived. In Mark 1:35, let's look at that. He says, and in the morning, rising up a great while before day, he went out and departed into a solitary place and prayed. Before, I used to say, Jesus prayed early in the morning. And people try to decide when is a great while before daylight. A great while. So whenever the sun rises, it's normally around 6 a.m. or 5. A great while before then. Some people say it's 3 a.m. And I used to say, I don't have to get up that early. I can have my private time with the Lord during the day. Well, lo and behold, as I started working with the Lord, guess what? I realized that the best time to do it is a great while before.
Mm-hmm.
And I'll tell you why. I don't know if it's true. I found out that the Muslims now do their Muslim prayer call in Minneapolis. Is that true?
Mm-hmm.
They started at 5 in the morning.
Yes.
So at 5 in the morning, they do their prayer call. They have released something into the atmosphere.
Yes.
They have released something in their favor into the atmosphere.
Yeah.
I knew the Christian, you didn't try to counteract it with anything. And you just wake up and you're gone. So now you're coming under the influence of everything that the demonic has programmed. I think it's in the book of Job, it says, command you. Have you commanded your money? It's a big ministry that it's in the dream of somebody has got command your money. Meaning that you can command your money.
That's good.
Because every night between midnight and 3 a.m., the demonic is active, releasing stuff, programming things against you. And you wake up, you don't do anything to counteract it. And sometimes the Lord shows it to you in a dream. And you wake up and you don't do anything against it. And so if you don't do anything, it's perceived as agreement. So whenever you have a dream, the Lord shows you something in a dream. He's releasing something to you, so you can either partner with it to come to manifestation or cancel it.
Yeah.
Isaiah 54 says that no weapon formed against you will prosper.
Amen.
Every tongue that rises against you, you will condemn. That this is the heritage of the servants of the Lord. That means that whatever you allow is allowed.
Yes.
Whatever you cancel is canceled.
Right.
And so if your enemy is getting up early in the morning to pollute the atmosphere, and you are not doing anything to counteract it, then that means that you are coming under whatever they have released.
Mm. Mm.
And so Jesus had to get up very early in the morning to pray and make sure that his day is fine. And then as he's doing that, he will receive instruction what to do.
Mm.
And that's when you'll find that I'm supposed to go to the pool of Siloam. And when I get to the pool of Siloam, there are many sick people, but I'm only supposed to heal one man at least. That's an instruction you receive. So you and I, in these last days, that's how we are to operate. Jesus got up early in the morning to pray. Now look at Mark chapter 6. Verse 45. We're just going to look at the prayer life of Jesus, then look at the prayer life of the apostles. Then I want you to, you can compare your prayer life right now. And then you will know why what is happening around you is happening. Because you can change it if you want. Mark 6:45, he says, and straightway he constrained his disciples to get into the ship and to go to the other side before, unto Bethsaida, while he sent away the people, and when he had sent them away, he departed into a mountain to pray. So this was in the evening. And when the evening was come, the ship was in the midst of the sea, and he was alone, and he saw them toiling, rowing, that's what it, for the wind was contrary, and about the fourth watch of the night. So he went out to pray in the evening, and then about the fourth watch in the night, he saw them. About the fourth watch of the night, he cometh unto them walking unto the upon the sea. And would have passed them. You know when is the, you know, have you heard about, you have an idea of what is called the watches? You know what the watches are? So we'll talk about the watches in Hebrew, in Jewish culture, are prayer times. You know, the 24 hours is broken up into watches.
Mm-hmm.
Just like a watch night.
Yeah.
So the fourth watch is from 3 a.m. to 6 a.m.
Yes.
It's a 3-hour increment. The third watch is from 12 midnight to 3 a.m. The second watch is from 9 p.m. to midnight. And the first watch is from 6 p.m. to 9 p.m. So Jesus started praying in the evening. He prayed until about 3 a.m.
Mm.
And then after that, he went and walked on the water.
Wow.
So, that means that it was him praying that long that caused something to happen to him for him to walk on the water.
Yes.
So, as he was praying, he saw them, not with his physical eye, because it's dark in the night. He saw them with his spiritual eye.
Yes.
And then he went to them walking on the water. But it was him praying for that long caused a certain change to happen in him so that he could walk on the water.
Mm-hmm.
If you take this your prayer from 8 p.m. to 4 a.m. seriously, you'll notice that when you're done, maybe you're very tired, but you will feel like spiritually you'll be energized.
Yes. Yes.
You want to pray more. Physically, you might be tired, but spiritually, you're energized.
Yes.
There is something that happens to you when you pray long.
Mm-hmm.
And Jesus prayed. I think that Jesus prayed mostly at night because really he was so busy. Mm-hmm. And so he prayed most of his prayer at night. We're just giving glimpses. Now, Jesus ministered for 3.5 years. So what we're given in scripture are just glimpses of what his life was like.
Yes.
And I will tell you that he probably did this a lot more than the number of times he was reading.
Yes.
So it's his prayer pattern that gave life to the power he operated in. Because in Galatians, Paul said that I travel so that Christ will be formed in you.
Yes.
So as you travel in prayer, there is changes that take place in your life. That as you pray, the Bible says that as we see him, we become like him.
Mm-hmm.
You see him when you're in prayer. You yes. see him when you're in the Word.
Yes.
And when you see him, you become like him.
Yes.
It's a spiritual principle. If you don't see him, you don't become like him. That's what Satan hijacked. He brought Harry Potter. Not just Harry Potter, most of the children's movies now. They are watching.
Yes.
They are all engrossed and clothed. And when your Jesus said that when two or three are gathered, I'm there, right?
Yes.
You are a spirit, you are a soul, and you are a body.
Yes.
When all three of them are in unity, it opens a portal in the spirit realm. So, when you're reading a book, and you're so engrossed in the book, and your spirit, your soul, and your body is in alignment, it opens a portal.
Hmm.
That's why when you read certain books, it opens a portal and a spirit enters you. You're playing video game because you're so one with what you're doing, it opens a portal and a spirit comes in. When you read the Bible and you're so in line, in growth and in oneness, it opens a portal and the spirit of God comes into you.
That's good.
It's the same principle.
Mm-hmm.
It doesn't change.
Right.
Satan just uses it against us. And you don't know. So when you're praying and you are in oneness with the Lord, your heart is open and the Lord comes in.
Yes.
When you're watching a scary movie and you're in oneness with the scary movie, you go to bed. What kind of dream do you have?
Scary.
Nightmare. Because something entered you.
Yes.
That thing that entered you is what Hebrew then calls substance.
Yes.
And that substance is faith. Because you spent time meditating on something and then something entered you. When you spend time with God, God's nature will enter you.
Yes.
And now you begin to operate like God. When you spend time with the devil, the devil's nature will enter you and begin to operate like the devil.
Mm.
There's only two spectrums. You can be as righteous as Jesus or as wicked as the devil.
There you go.
My dad said something when Bill Clinton had this problem. He said, any man can be a fool. Any man can be a fool.
Yeah.
It doesn't matter your education. If you give yourself onto something, you can go to the spectrum of that thing.
Yes.
And if it's demonic, it's Satan.
Mm.
If you give yourself to something on the spectrum of righteousness, you can get to the end of that spectrum and become like Jesus.
Yes.
What are you giving yourself? You're feeding yourself. You're a three-part being. You feed your soul, you feed your spirit, and you feed your body. So when you eat, you feed your body. When you read the word, you feed your spirit. When you study or read books, you feed your soul. And every third part of it is being fed. And whatever you consume the most is what you gravitate to.
That's good. That's good.
And if you want to walk in faith, then you need to mind what you consume. Because Satan is very skillful at making sure that he feeds you at every point.
Yes.
I remember the first time I came to America or Canada, and I saw those big billboards of naked women. Everything in me revolted because it was unnatural. But after some time of seeing that, I started becoming comfortable. So there's been a change, but it wasn't a good change. So I need to fight against that. That's what Satan does. If you live in Babylon, Jesus said in Matthew 24, because of the increase of iniquity, the love of many will do what?
Grow
cold.
Yes.
So Satan tries to make sure he pollutes the environment so much that your love for Jesus begins to grow cold and you don't even know it. And you think you're in love with Jesus, but your reaction time has been reduced. Before, when you hear his voice, you run. Now when you hear his voice, you wait, you sink on it, you doubt it. So slowly your reaction is changing. And what controls your life is what's in the subconscious, not what's in the conscious. See, it's the subconscious part of you that controls you. Because most people operate in automatic, right?
Right.
That automatic is your subconscious. When the word of God fills your heart and fills your subconscious mindset, when anything happens to you, your reaction will be what? The word of God.
There you go.
But when the subconscious of you is filled with anything other than the word of God, when anything happens to you, your reaction naturally will be not the word of God.
There you go.
We're programmed here when something emergency happen to do what? Call 911, which is fine. But you haven't programmed yourself when something emergency happen to die to heaven.
There you go. Come on.
Because heaven is quicker than 911.
Amen. Come on.
I remember my wife was in the Bahamas with our kid. And all the emergencies always seem to happen at the worst possible time. At 3 a.m., she called me because one of the kids was having stomach pain and fever and all kinds of things. But then, Bahamas, you can't call 911. You can call 911, but you know, every place is not America. There's a reason why there's third world country. Right? I hear. But at 3 a.m., who do you call?
Come on.
She's in another country. So what we did is, we phoned the heaven. Say, Lord, this is what's going on, what do we do? And then the Lord gave instruction. He said, do this, do this. And that was it. The baby was fine.
Praise God.
It's a blessing to have access to the voice of God. It's more precious than winning the lottery.
Yes.
It's more precious than having time with the president. If there's anything I want you to cry out for, is to cry out to know the voice of your Father.
Yes.
Because he will save you from trouble.
Yes.
He knows what's coming tomorrow.
Yes, he does.
That's how Jesus lived. That's how the apostles lived. But that kind of relationship is what Jesus is talking about. Comes through prayer.
Yes.
Let's look at another one. How do you make decisions? In Luke chapter 6, let's look at how Jesus made decision. In Luke chapter 6, verse 12. I'm talking about faith for the last days. It says, and it came to pass in those days that he went out onto a mountain to pray and continued all night. So have you noticed a pattern in Jesus' life? He prays long and he prays at night. And most of his prayer is not, Lord, give me this, give me this. No. Most of his prayer is to find out what God wants to do. And wow. Come in alignment with it.
That's good.
You know that God has written, Psalm 130 says that every day of your life has been written.
Yes.
So that means that every day of your life, there is an agenda from heaven. When you begin to give God, the minimum you should give God is a tenth, 10%.
Yes.
We pay tithe in money, but do you pay tithe in time? 24 hours in a day, 10% of that, 2.4 hours. So you should pay tithe. Give God a tithe of your time.
That's good.
When you give God a tithe of your time, that's the amount you spend with Him. And when you do that, when you pay 10% of your money, it says that the other 90% is what? Holy. Set apart. When you give God a tithe of your time, the rest of the time has been captured for you.
Yes.
So Jesus had to make a decision. He prayed all night, verse 13 of Luke 6. And when it was day, he called unto him his disciples, and of them he chose 12. You know, Judas was not a surprise to Jesus.
Right.
Jesus knew who Judas was, and he said nothing. He knew what Judas was going to do.
Yes.
Because he saw it everything when he was praying for Judas. What amazes me is that Judas was with Jesus every day for 3.5 years, and he still betrayed him.
Yes.
I noticed something. All the other apostles always called Jesus Lord. Judas never called Jesus Lord. What?
There you go. There you go.
If the Lord has brought you here and put you under Pastor Roy, what do you call, what's Pastor Roy to you? Do you submit under him? Or do you submit under someone else? You see, you can't submit to God if you don't submit to the person who placed over you.
That's right.
Because God is a God of order.
Yes.
He put order in place.
Yes.
I submit under the pastor. I may have other men of God I follow and other people that I'm under. But when it comes to priority, if everything comes against what my pastor here is doing, the other ones are secondary. Because his priority. Because God has placed me under him. For 3.5 years, Judas was under Jesus.
Yes.
That tells you that the heart is very wicked. Shake your heart. That you could be under a very anointed ministry. Actually, the closer you are to a very anointed ministry, the more the danger you miss out, because you become familiar.
Yes.
And that's always the problem. When the pastor leaves and goes somewhere else, everything changes, because people tap into what they have. When they come home, people just, oh yeah, that's just Pastor Rob. But when he goes somewhere else, there is a different option. Because everything is about expectation. God will do unto you according to what you expect.
Yes.
And so cherish what you have.
Mm-hmm.
But Jesus prayed all night. When was the last time you set time aside to pray before you made a decision?
Mm-hmm. Come on.
This is basic Christianity. You have time for what is important to you.
There you go.
I'll tell you Satan's agenda in America. Because when I came to America, I was so busy that if you ask me what I was busy doing, I couldn't tell you.
Mm-hmm.
When I was working in Wisconsin, I was working 8 days on and 6 days off. So the other 6 days, I said I can pick up some chips. So I started moonlighting. And I realized that I spent so much time moonlighting, and the money I thought I made, the next year I owed tax. I was so angry with myself. I spent so much time working, and then I owed tax on top of it. I had to pay all that back. I don't do that anymore. I learned my lesson. Because I thought if I work, pick up extra, right, to cover bills.
Yeah.
And the time I used to spend with God, I was busy, working, stressing myself, and at the end, I lost it all.
There you go.
What if I give those time to the Lord? Spend time with the Lord.
Yes.
You know, any time you spend with the Lord is never wasted.
There you go.
Amen.
If you, there is something that me and my wife do. We don't do it as much now, but we try to. Once in a while, I take my Bible, I go to a hotel. Maybe go somewhere, just spend all day in the Word, in prayer. And I encourage her to do the same. You need to do that. Maybe you don't have the luxury of a whole day. Go to your shop if you have the key. You know, when there was a season when my daughter, she was pregnant with my daughter, and she had to go to the Bahamas. I don't know why she chose Bahamas. Because when I was doing her green card, she had to do interview. I don't know why she chose the Bahamas. Because her paper expired. And so she was working, her paper expired in 2019. And then she had to be home. And then the Lord told her never to go back to work. And so we're working on her paper, and she had to go in, and she put Bahamas, and it was in January. What? She didn't have paper. And she was pregnant with Rebecca, my second daughter. And so everybody said, Eze, you cannot let your wife leave the country. The president is Trump. If they don't approve her, he may not come inside. So, and she was like, I am going. I don't care what anybody says, because I must get to that interview. And everybody said, Eze, you cannot let her go without paper because the government may not allow her back if she's not approved.
Yeah.
I had a decision to make. See, there are decisions you need to hear God, not man.
Amen.
I took my Bible. I went to the church. I spent time praying. I said, Lord, I'm in between two opinions. I need that one is bad. That's the first time the Lord said to me, I agree with your wife. See, when you read the Bible, this is how I know. When I read the Bible, you read a passage, right? The passage that seemed to interest you is the Lord speaking to you.
Yes.
So when you're reading the Bible, all of a sudden you see that it's like a light was shown on a particular passage of scripture. That's what God is speaking to you. So pay attention to that. So when I read something about agreement, it just stood out. I agree. Okay, I agree with my wife. I said, okay, let's pray. We prayed. So okay, you can go. I disobeyed many people that I highly regarded. But she went. She passed. Came back January, and in March, COVID came. Don't know what I did to our relationship, because if I had listened to other people, we wouldn't be married. She would have no paper. She would be paperless. She would be stranded. Everything that's happening now would not be happening.
Wow.
But because I listen to the Lord.
Yes.
When you need to hear God, you need to set time aside. The Bible says, seek the Lord when it's time. See, to seek something means you devote time to wait. That means that if the decision is important, set time aside to hear from God.
Yes.
That's basic Christianity. The devil tries to keep us busy.
Yes.
But I want to encourage you today. Make it a habit. Take some time away to spend with the Lord. He will reward you. You are looking for an answer. God is looking for a reward. Mm-hmm. He says he rewards those who diligently seek him.
Yes.
When you diligently seek him, he will answer you and he will give you a reward. He will tell you what the enemy is planning against you or your children or what's in the future coming.
Yes.
Now you will know. That's a reward.
Yes.
And Jesus needed to know because he had 12 people that were going to run his ministry.
Mm-hmm.
And he needed to hit it on the spot and not make mistakes.
Yes.
He prayed all night. Mm-hmm. Now, if that's Jesus, how about you?
Come on.
Come on.
Yes.
Now, let's look at the apostles, because time is ticking.
I don't want to take too much of your time.
I want to let you know that the faith we need in these last days is the faith that's bettered in intimacy.
Mm. Mm-hmm.
Daniel 11:32 says that those that know their God will be strong and they will do exploits.
Yeah.
Now, that level of knowing is not reading the Bible, although that's there, but it's spending time in prayer, in the Word, spending time with him. Whenever you spend time with him, something is born in you. There's a substance quickened in you.
Yes.
That's what I mean by prayer is a vehicle for transformation.
Mm-hmm.
When you spend time in prayer, you come out different.
Yes.
You come out changed.
Mm-hmm.
You may come out full of peace. You may come out full of joy. You may come out full of faith. But that thing that you came out of is called faith.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
When you operate in it, you walk in victory.
Yes.
If you experience it once, you will know what I mean. Don't want to live without it. Because in these last days, that's how we are to operate.
Yes.
Now, you know how things are boiling in our nation.
Mm-hmm.
It's going to get more and more turbulent. Charlie Kirk is a beginning of what's going to happen.
Mm.
But we must preach the truth in love and in boldness.
Yes.
For you to do that, you need a supernatural infilling.
Yes.
Now, I want to tell you something, because we are afraid many times of danger. The Lord never promised us a life without danger.
There you go.
He promises us he will be with us. And in these last days, we're coming to the best part of Christianity.
Mm.
Because when you read about the end times, you're told what the devil is doing. What you're not told is what the Lord is doing in the church.
Yes.
I want you to pay more attention to that. What the Lord is doing in the church.
Yes.
Because the church is going to be more and more glorious.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
More and more powerful. But the process to that is what we're going through now. Is there's division in the church. And every division, people are removed. The Lord showed me a place where I saw everybody worshiping, and something happened, and more than 90% was swept away.
Mm.
Jesus called it the great falling away.
Mm-hmm.
See, there is something happening. Everybody, at least on social media, are blaming everything on Israel, on the Jews, right? The Tucker Carlson, the candy songs, they seem to have gotten a bite of that bug from the devil that ate the Jews.
Yes.
But at the same time that is happening, they turn a blind eye to the greater danger, which is the rise of Islamic fundamentalism in America. So, they're putting all the emphasis on one nation, but the one that's more dangerous. See what's called, that's why it's called deception. It just moves your attention away from something you need to pay attention to,
right,
that is within you, that is more dangerous.
Mm.
Because we live in Minnesota, and they have a stronghold in Minnesota, they have a stronghold in Rochester. So that means that for us to express our faith in the next few months and years, because unless something happens, you notice something about Islam, they always try to gain ground in the north of every country. There's something in the spirit realm about the northern part of countries and nations. The devil tries to build a stronghold there. But if revival starts in the north of any nation, it's more long-lasting.
Yes.
Because there's a stronghold. And you know why that is? The throne of God in heaven is on the northern side. In Psalm, it talks about a mountain in Zion.
Mm-hmm.
See, there's Zion in Israel, but there's Zion in heaven. And where the throne of God is in the northern part, a mountainous part called Zion.
Mm.
There's a spiritual significance there. And what I'm saying is, when we operate with God, everything is about height.
Mm-hmm.
How high are you in the spirit realm?
Mm.
You can be in a 20 story tower building, but you're on the first floor. Your view is different than if you're on the 20th floor.
Yes.
Have you ever been to Uganda building?
Mm-hmm.
Everybody wants to go to the 18th floor because you can see the whole city. When you're on the first floor, you don't see anything. It's the same way in the spirit realm.
Mm.
You can be in Christ, but if you're not high enough in the spirit, your view is blocked. But what takes you there is sacrifice.
Mm.
See, sacrifice is a currency in the spirit realm. If the enemy is paying more sacrifice than you in the spirit realm, he will have the upper hand in the spirit realm than you. So Islam, they pray 5 times a day to a false god, but they're consistent. The Christians don't pray as much. So in the spirit realm, their sacrifice is high.
Mm-hmm.
So they have the upper hand. And the natural realm just follow the spirit realm. The natural realm has no authority. It obeys the spirit realm. So in the spirit realm, whoever has a higher sacrifice wins. That's why you need to live a life of prayer. Because it doesn't matter what they're doing. If you go to use your ATM debit card and you have no money in it, what will happen?
You won't get nothing.
You won't get nothing. It's the same way in the spirit realm. You want to withdraw, but you have not made deposit. What deposit have you made in the spirit realm? That's what you're doing with your online program. You're making deposits.
Yes.
You're making deposits. You're making deposits. Others are not. You are. So in the spirit realm, if you look at this region in the spirit realm, you might be the church that carries the authority here.
Yes.
Because you're making deposits in the spirit realm.
Yes.
God recognizes you. In the physical, they'll say you're small. But in the spirit, you're not small.
Amen.
So, let's look at the apostles. I wish you gave me the time so I can. I don't take too much time. So, in Acts chapter 1, verse 14. So, the apostles, the disciples, they walked with Jesus. And after walking with Jesus, they found out that the power of Jesus was not in anything but his prayer life. That's why they asked him, teach us to pray. The Pharisees prays, John and his disciples prays, but when you pray, yours is different. The Pharisees pray to receive something, an answer. Jesus prays to become one with the Father. That's different. That means that his prayer is to come in alignment to find out what God wants to do and to do it. If you do not pray, the Holy Ghost will pray that you receive the baptism tonight. And I'll encourage you to pray more in the Holy Ghost. When you pray the Holy Ghost, you pray the baptism of God for your life. When you pray the Holy Ghost, the Bible says that Satan doesn't know what you're praying. Even you don't know what you're praying. You might think, I remember when I was single, and I had someone I was interested in, right? And I'm praying in tongues. I'm like, Lord, let it be this person. What are you saying? That's what I'm saying in my mind. But in the spirit, the Holy Spirit might be saying, Lord, don't answer that. Just answer the right one.
Yes.
So the best prayer to pray is to pray in the Holy Ghost.
Yeah.
Pray in the Holy Ghost. When you pray in the Holy Ghost, the Bible says that you are built up. You are edified. You know, when they build the building, they put one slab at a time. You're edified. It will come to a point that you become fully edified. The thing is, the trouble might be there. It's just that something has happened on the inside. So your reaction to the trouble is different. So God doesn't really solve your problem. God fortifies you to take care of your problem.
Yes.
So, when you have a need, you come to God in prayer, the Lord will fill you up and put the answer in you so you can go take care of the problem.
Yes. Yeah. Amen. Yes.
So, what you want to do is to spend time with him. So, he fills you. Unfortunately, you have to do it every day because when you eat, the food you ate yesterday doesn't help you today.
Amen.
So the answer you received yesterday is for yesterday. Today, that's why I say, give us our daily bread. Now, let me stop that there. Most people think that means food. Is that, does it mean food? When Jesus said, give us today our daily bread, is that food?
In part.
Because in the same passage in Matthew 6, it says, do not give thought about what you eat, about what you would, because the Father does those things to you. So, the daily bread, Jesus says, I am the bread of life.
Yes.
So, you want to receive from Jesus his portion for you today.
Amen.
Yes.
And when you receive that, everything else will be provided. Let's go to Acts chapter 3. Jesus prayed mostly at night. The disciples did something a little different. So I'll just touch on those. Then we'll go. Acts chapter 3, verse 1. Let's look at Peter. Because he says, now Peter and John went up together into the temple at the hour of prayer, being the ninth hour.
Yes.
So, King James says 9 hour. Does anybody have another version? Someone will tell you what time is. The 9 hour is 3 p.m.
Yes.
So, there are, I talk about watches, prayer watches. So, 3, 6, 9, 12. 3, 6, 9, 12. What are those? Those are spiritual traffic times.
Mm.
So, when you pray, those are watches, time of watches in prayer when angelic activities are high. So when you pray around those times and keep it consistent, you begin to traffic heavenly messengers. So Peter prayed at 9 p.m. Well, sorry, 9 p.m., let's say, it says, oh, 3 p.m., that's 9 hours. And then let's go to Acts chapter 10, verse 6. Acts chapter 10, verse 9. Let's look at this. In Acts chapter 10, verse 9. It says, Acts chapter 10, verse 9. On the morrow, as they went on their journey and drew nigh unto the city, Peter went up upon the housetop to pray about the sixth hour. The sixth hour is what? Noon.
Yes.
So you notice a pattern. Peter prayed the ninth hour, 3. The sixth hour, he prayed with fasting. This was a pattern they maintained. And the enemy tried to move them off that pattern. That's not when what happens when ministry grows, problem comes, and pastor leaves the thing that brought the revival and starts doing administration.
Yeah.
That's what the enemy tried to do in Acts chapter 6. And the apostles picked 7 elders and said, we'll give ourselves to prayer
yes.
and ministry of the word. The reason why we are the way we are because most of our pastors spend more time taking care of the church instead of spending more time in ministry of prayer and the work.
Yes.
Prayer and the work. Fasting and the work. In Acts chapter 13, verse 1. Now there were in the church that was at Antioch certain prophets and teachers, as Barnabas and Simon, that was called Niger, and Lucius, all of them were brought up as they ministered to the Lord and fasted. As they ministered to the Lord and fasted. In Matthew 6, Jesus said, when you pray, when you fast, when you give, that's your life if you're a believer. If you're a disciple, you're crucified to a life of prayer, a life of fasting, and a life of giving.
Yes.
When revival starts because people are praying.
Yes.
Revival stops because they stop doing the thing that brought the revival.
Mm-hmm.
So you can have personal revival, immediately it starts doing what Jesus said. Pray, fast, spend time in the world.
Yes.
That's what God wants me to give you. Because the faith you need now is that consistent prayer.
Yes.
Spend less time feeding yourself things that doesn't benefit you spiritually.
Yes.
When you consume the news, you become more fearful.
Mm-hmm.
When you consume the word,
You are full of faith.
Amen. Yes. Yes.
There's a man of God, Smith Wigglesworth. Lester Sumrall went to his house and he had the newspaper, and Smith Wigglesworth would not allow him to bring the newspaper into his house.
Yep.
Because he said the newspaper was full of lies.
Yes.
And when he went inside, he put the newspaper aside. All Lester Smith Wigglesworth did was read the Bible and pray over him.
Yeah.
But when he came out, he's like, I received something. Something happened to me.
Yes.
I'll close with this and we'll pray. What the father that had the son that Jesus healed said, I have faith, help my unbelief. Your faith is not the problem. Your unbelief is the problem.
Yes.
We all have a level of faith, but how big is our unbelief? Our faith is strong enough to handle everything that we're facing. The problem is our unbelief, for some of us, is more than others.
Yes.
And the only thing that kills unbelief is fasting.
Yes. Come on.
Because fasting means you starve yourself from food and you take in the word. And when you take in the word, your spirit man is built to overcome your unbelief.
Amen.
So, you go to the doctor, by the time you leave the doctor's office, you're full of fear because of what the doctor told you. You still have the same amount of faith when you went there. Now what's happened is the unbelief has grown because of all the bad news the doctor gave you. So you begin to fast. Fast food, taking the word, weaken your flesh, strengthen your spirit, and your spirit man becomes strong. And Proverbs says that a man's spirit will sustain his body in infirmity.
Yes.
So if your spirit is full of the word, it will keep you alive.
Yes.
But if your spirit is starved of the word, and you have six-pack and the best of the gym, you will die young because your body cannot sustain your spirit. So the faith we need is a faith that's based on intimacy with the Lord.
Amen.
When you leave his presence, something from him enters you. That's faith.
Yes.
That thing that enters you causes you to see everything around you from his perspective. Let's rise up.